Well, good afternoon. It's just about 3 o'clock, and you're in tune with KTOO FM in Juneau. Welcome to Juneau Afternoon. I'm Pat Moore, your host today. Laura Haywood will be dropping in on us from Juneau Lyric Opera this afternoon. We'll hear some excerpts from Capitol Steps Desperate Housewives. They're opening Thursday, February 26th at Centennial Hall for one show. We'll hear a memoir from Haines resident Raymond Dennis about Tlingit family, clans, and culture today. And we'll have a replay of Will Swigert's wonderful new Christmas poem, Bite Before Christmas. All of that and a little bit more on Juneau Afternoon. So the weather is rain, snow level about 400 feet, little to no snow accumulation, highs around 38, southwest winds 15 miles per hour. And tonight, rain and snow diminish late, snow accumulation up to 1 inch overnight.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Native people spoke out this week at a public hearing on a bill that could boost mining in Wisconsin. Wisconsin Public Radio's Chuck Kornbach has more.
The bill would streamline state mining regulations and could help a company that wants to open a large iron ore mine near the Bad River Chippewa Reservation in northern Wisconsin. At a legislative hearing in Milwaukee, Bad River tribal member Matt Dannenberg said lawmakers need to slow down and look at what the mine would do to ground and surface water.
We definitely need a further study on the water resources in the area that will be affected. And we need to have that time. That science needs to happen. And this bill, as it currently is written, takes a lot of science out of the process.
Supporters of the mining bill say the iron ore mine would bring thousands of jobs to the area. But Marvin Defoe, the vice chair of the Red Cliff Chippewa, says a clean environment is a higher priority.
My people in my community would rather have clean water than a job.
Even if the political conservatives who control Wisconsin politics go ahead and pass the mining bill, the proposed iron ore mine could hit other snags when the federal government reviews the project. Edith Leoso is the historic preservation officer for the Bad River Band. She says she'd take a lengthy look at whether the mine would damage tribal properties protected under U.S. preservation laws.
As soon as the Army Corps of Engineers steps in, so does the National Historic Preservation Act, which brings my office into it.
Many of the tribal members who spoke at the Milwaukee hearing say they're not against all mining. For National Native News, I'm Chuck Kornbach.
A federal judge has denied a request by the Osage Nation to block a proposed wind farm. As KGOU's Kurt Gortney reports, the tribe says it would interfere with tribal mineral rights.
U.S. District Judge Gregory Fazell issued the ruling Thursday after hearing testimony that the wind farm can coexist with oil drilling that's planned on the same land in Osage County. The Osage Nation claims in its lawsuit that it owns all the mineral rights in and under Osage County in northern Oklahoma. Developers of the wind farm say they need to start construction in time to finish before the end of 2012 when a federal tax incentive expires. The tribe argued the proposed wind turbines would interfere with future development of oil and gas production that generates income for many Osage citizens. For National Native News, I'm Kurt Gortney.
This week, the chief of an Ontario First Nation dealing with the housing crisis met with the Aboriginal Affairs Minister. Dan Karpinchuk reports.
Third-party financial management is still the main issue that has Chief Teresa Spence furious, and the rift with the federal government over who controls Attawapiskat First Nations purse strings could even slow any progress on the reserve's housing crisis. The meeting between Spence and Aboriginal Affairs Minister John Duncan was described as respectful, cordial, and collegial, and they agreed on a three-step stability plan. That includes the need to keep emergency supplies coming in for the short term, a retrofit of the local healing center, and in the long term, 22 new houses need to be set up on lots. And Duncan says construction on a new elementary school would begin in the spring. But Teresa Spence says she's still following through with her legal action.
Aroostook First Nations filing an injunction against Aboriginal First Northern Development Canada to stop the third-party manager from taking over and causing more harm than good.
The government appointee will stay in place until the housing crisis is under control. That could be for just a few months. After that, he would relinquish control and a full audit of the past 5 years of spending would begin. Spence and the Band Council have agreed to the audit. They say if only to prove the Prime Minister and others wrong in their stated belief that the band has mismanaged its money. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
On this day in 2010, President Obama announced the U.S. would support the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. The U.S. opposed the non-binding resolution in 2007. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation.
If you are a Native American who experienced discrimination from the USDA while trying to get a farm loan, you can get free legal help with filing a claim at meetings held around the country through December. Details and a schedule of meetings is at IndianFarmClass.com or 1-888-233-5506.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Service.
It's just 5 minutes after 3 o'clock. You're in tune with KTO-FM. I'm Pat Moore, your host for Juneau Afternoon. If your family has used AWARE's services in the past year, and you and your children are then invited to AWARE's annual holiday party, it'll be December 20th. Join them for fun, crafts, games, and holiday cheer. If you'd like more information about the party or to RSVP, call Christine or Megan at AWARE. The telephone number is 586-6623. Indeed, the jolly old fat man is coming to town. He's going to be here in about a little more than 3 hours. The fire truck will start at the tram with Santa. They'll be giving out candy from the fire truck tonight starting at 6:30 from the down at the tram. And then Santa will ride up Franklin Street to 4th, and then down Calhoun Avenue, down 12th Street to Glacier Avenue, up Highlands Drive and along Barron's, and then they'll loop back to Glacier Avenue. And then at about 7:45, Santa will continue across the Douglas Bridge, up Cordova Street to I Avenue, and then around the loop at Cedar Park, back down Cordova Street, continuing to Douglas. And they'll arrive in Douglas and continue down 2nd Street to St. Anne's, looping back towards back towards town on 5th Street at approximately 8:30 p.m., greeting all the boys and girls of Douglas with candy. So step out and see Santa as he arrives in Juneau tonight at 6:30 at the tram, and then at 7:45 when they cross the Douglas Bridge, going over into Douglas and downtown Douglas. So step out for the Santa visit.
Spirit of Youth celebrates teenage Alaskans who are making our communities better places to live. They give their time, their hearts and minds, their passion, their creativity. Now, hear their stories.
We're milling about at a second Friday art show at a hip Anchorage cafe. There's a certain energy in the air, and a lot of it is focused on the show's featured artist. Cecilia Caroli-Lister is just 15 years old.
I've been painting for a really long time. I think I was showed some artistic talent in the kindergarten and like preschool. We have like a picture at my home of sunflowers that I did when I was in kindergarten. People come over and they're like, oh. So in first grade when I moved to Anchorage was when I first entered like a Waldorf education, and that's what really helped me learn like painting.
Cecilia gives credit to adults who've helped instruct, inspire, and support her in her art. In fact, she says it was a teacher who helped arrange her debut tonight. And Zina Murari is the art curator for the cafe. She says featuring a teenage artist is not something she does very often.
I thought her work was very, very strong, and much stronger than a lot of the submissions that I get. And for someone so young, it's very promising and in its own right very strong.
Cecilia says painting and making art is something she plans on doing forever, and that tonight's success hasn't gone to her head.
I feel so lucky. Like, this isn't something that happens to everybody, and this chance, like, I am really grateful for this. Thanks so much.
All 8 of Cecilia's paintings sold at the opening show. I'm Shanna Sheehy.
Give a young person you know a boost by recognizing the good things they're doing. Nominate at spiritofyouth.org.
Provided by the Alaska State Division of Behavioral Health.
It's 12 minutes after 3. You're in tune with KTOO FM in Juneau. This is Juneau Afternoon, and the weather forecast for the rest of today is for rain to continue. We're looking at the snow level to drop down to around 400 feet, but little to no snow accumulation. The highs ought to be around 38. Southeast winds will continue at about 15 miles per hour. And tonight, we're looking for the rain and snow to diminish. But before it leaves us, it should leave about an inch of snow for us. Allows around 31 tonight. Southeast winds 10 miles per hour, becoming light and variable late. And then the same kind of weather all the way through the weekend. Cloudy Saturday and mostly cloudy on the Saturday night. Sunday's weather, a chance of snow in the morning and then rain in the afternoon. And Sunday night and Monday, it looks like the rain will continue. The lows all those days will hover right in the 30 to 40 range, right where it makes the road nice and slick and makes you have to kind of watch where you're stepping when you're walking down on the sidewalks. Well, as promised, we have a couple of members of Juneau Lyric Opera here to talk to us about a wonderful vocal festival that's going to happen. My guests are Laura Haywood and Lena Simmons. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. Tell me about the upcoming festival.
Well,
this is Lena.
Hi, this is Lena, and this is our 23rd year of doing this vocal festival. We bring up a conductor from Texas, Byron McGilvery, and his sidekick, Jan Capel, who is a pianist and vocal coach. And they come up, and we do 3 classes for about a week and a half, sort of in that mid-period of the winter when it's kind of icky and things are kind of not nice, and it's just a good thing to get out of the house, you know, and do something. And so we do 3 classes, and folks come out, and then we have this big performance at the end.
And this is a choral.
This is a choral. This is a vocal thing. Byron McGilvery was the head of choral studies at San Francisco State University, and then he retired and couldn't stay retired, and now is now teaching in music at the community college at his old hometown, because he just couldn't stay retired. He could not stand not to teach. And so he's been coming up now for 23 years and teaching Junoites how to sing better, or in some cases even how to sing at all.
And I think Lena actually looked at me, this is Laura, when she said that, because I think my first one was about 6 or 7 years ago, and I had never done anything like that, and I got dragged by a friend, and the first night I just said, there is no way I can do this. This is a huge amount of music, and there's no way I can learn it. And I didn't actually sing in my high school choir or anything like that, so I really was a newbie. But even that first year, I noticed that by Wednesday or Thursday, suddenly it was kind of making sense. And by the time of the performance, I was able to actually sing along. And I just want to tell that story because I want to encourage people who might not have done anything like this before that you will get the helping hand you need, and it will be a great experience.
What is the experience for someone who does the workshop? Is this like hands-on, one-on-one, or is it always the big choir?
There are three different classes, and two of them always stay the same. And one is the big choir, in which we sing everything from Bach to Broadway. You know, it's a wide range of vocal music. Then we always do what we call group voice, which is a beginning sort of thing. If you've never sung, or it's been years since you've sung, or you have no idea whether you're a tenor or a baritone or a bass or whatever, you can come in and learn some of the basic techniques of singing so that you can sing and not hurt your voice and sing in the register you're supposed to and be able to sing without getting tired and enjoy yourself. You know, the lines go up and down and the notes go up and down, and you need to stand this way and you need to breathe this way, and just, you know, some basic beginning helping hints of what you do when you're a singer, just to get your feet on the ground and in the right position. And then the third class varies every year. And this year we're doing ensemble singing, which is an art all its own. It's one thing to get out there and be surrounded by altos and have them all around you singing. And there's always at least one, if not more, really good altos in that section who can sort of pull the section along and drag it into shape and that you rely on. But when you're in an ensemble, most of the time, you're the only person singing your part. And that's a really scary thing for not only just the newbies, but for those of us who've done it for a long time. And so we're doing that class this year to give people the opportunity to harmonize with two or three or four other people singing your own part all by yourself, you know, in front of God and everybody. And it is a little scary thing, but, you know, you'll get a lot of encouragement. You'll be there with a lot of other people who are doing the same thing you are, and we'll do our best to match you with music that you'll enjoy.
So, Lena, you speak of this whole thing with an air of great expertise. Can you tell us a little bit about your singing background?
Well, I've sung all my life. I cannot ever remember a point in my time that I have not sung, from children's choir in church through to directing my own church choir now. And I just can't imagine not singing. You know, it's amazing to me when people come up to me and go, "Oh, I don't like to sing." How can someone not like to sing? It is, you know, emotionally cathartic, because singing is controlled screaming. And so you can scream your guts out, you know, as long as you're on pitch. And everybody's going to believe you. That's why opera especially is so great, because you can get out there and just, you know, overact like crazy and just put out all this emotion and just wear yourself out enough that you can really sleep well at night.
This is Laura. I actually find that people don't usually say they don't like singing. What they say is, I'm really bad at it. I can't sing. And that's probably because someone told them that early on. And in fact, I had a sixth grade choral teacher whose name was, I'm not making this up, his name was Mr. Bottom. And Mr. Bottom basically kicked me out of sixth grade choir, and I never, ever sang again until I moved to Juneau, Alaska 10 years ago.
Surely, since you became the director of the Lyric Opera, you sent this man your business card, right?
You know, I just found out he's still alive. I think he's too old to really take it out on him now. But
the thing is, everybody really can sing.
And people also have this really exaggerated idea of how, quote, good you're supposed to be before you can join a chorus like ours. And in fact, it's perfectly okay if you really aren't sure of the notes, you can hang back. You know, if you're really that tentative, fine. But, you know, at some point you will get more sure of yourself. And I didn't take, you know, she's talking about the beginning voice class. I didn't take that till about 3 or 4 years in because I was sure I was too bad to take the beginning voice class. And now, not only have I taken that twice, but I take more than one private lesson from Dr. McGillivray every time he comes to town. And I've lost all that, and I can now sing out confidently. He assured me that I was more or less on pitch most of the time, and that was enough for me, and I sing out confidently now, if you had told me this 10 years ago, I never would have believed it.
The name of the organization is the Juneau Lyric Opera.
Mm-hmm.
Why the word lyric in there?
Lyric, probably because 150 years ago, all the opera companies that were being formed in the United States called themselves, you know, the Chicago Lyric Opera, or because lyric opera just sounded so wonderful.
So 150 years ago when the Juneau Lyric Opera.
Yeah, right.
In fact, I looked it up because a couple people asked me that question after I became director, and I didn't know how to answer it, so I actually Googled it. Who knew you could Google this? And what it said was that lyric opera is as opposed to high opera, really formal opera. And with lyric opera, you're likely to be doing more variety of pieces. It can include things like operetta, and you can do smaller things, which is, of course, exactly what we do.
And lyric opera also is a form of opera that's far more like the Puccini La Bohème we just did, can be considered bel canto or lyric because it's beautiful. Where Wagner, if we would do Wagner, is not considered lyric opera at all, and is far more dramatic, and the music is far more dramatic.
And you do need a 300-pound soprano.
Well, yeah.
For that.
Yeah,
Whereas we didn't have to have that for La Bohème, did we?
No, we had beautiful Anne, you know, who just sounded lovely. Bohème was wonderful. Yeah. We had all these young beginning singers. And, you know, it's great to see them move along. And they've been singing. Some of them have been, it was their first time. Some of them have been singing with us since high school. And that's rewarding to see singers coming up through the ranks and seeing kids who you saw as, you know, turning their mother's pages on the piano bench now outshining in their own right because they love to sing and they want to sing. And that's just exciting.
How many people are involved in the Lyric Opera?
In the workshops or all together?
No, the company.
It changes all the time depending on
what we're doing.
So La Bohème was a very small thing that included maybe 30 people, but all together, including the crew. But there are, you know, as far as this choral thing goes, we usually have about 50 or 60, is that right?
Yeah, probably between all the different classes and the people who take private lessons, there'll probably be 100 singers who float through one of the three classes or private lessons. We've had shows that we've had 60 people in. We've done shows that have had 3 or 4, you know. It's like the difference between doing, like if we would do something like a ball that's got a couple of, you know, three kings and you know, the boy and his mother and a little bit of a chorus. And
she's
then
talking about a mall and the night visitors.
Not the nugget night mall.
Right, not the nugget mall. A mall, yes. And so, you know, you've got this little mid-sized sort of thing. So, and then there's all the technical people that really make it work. because you've got to have a director and an orchestra, or even if the orchestra is just a piano, you know, a pianist and a lighting person and someone to do sound if needed. And it takes a lot of people to work behind the scenes to put on a show.
And we actually love meeting new people who are interested in taking some of those roles. We always need more technical people to help. And in fact, we came down here to K2 to help out with your last pledge drive.
Mm-hmm.
And we were answering phones, and there were a whole group of us from, there were board members, and I was here, and the director from our show came here too. And there was this guy who was, he was our team captain or something. He was like in charge of us while we were answering the phones, and we started talking to him. Well, it turned out he loves La Boheme. He's an opera fan. He just moved to town. He joined our set crew. He was one of our set people. So, Paul, he was a huge find for us. So, if anybody is interested in getting involved in some of our productions, whether it's being in the cast or a singer or being behind the scenes, they should give us a call. Our number is 586 ARIA, ARIA, which is also 2742.
So, what shows are you putting together now?
Well, after midwinter.
Yeah, after the midwinter.
After midwinter in April, Laura's producing. We're going to do as much of the Messiah as we can get our mouths around.
The whole thing.
The whole thing. Normally, when you hear it done, like it's going to be done this weekend, you'll hear the Christmas portion done at Christmas time. But it really wasn't meant as a Christmas piece. And so we've, over the years, the opera has done it. We did first just the Christmas portion about 15 years ago. And then we thought, well, what the heck? So we did the first portion and the last portion, which is the more Easter, you know, sounding stuff. And this year we just thought, what the heck? Let's make it a year-long celebration and do the whole thing.
And in fact, it is being, the first part is being performed this weekend, and the Juno Box Society is doing this first chunk. Not that we don't all sing all, I mean, I'm singing in that, and it's directed by Bruce Simonson, who is also music directing the full thing in April. So this is, and today we had a flash mob at the state office building, and did you come and
no,
hear us?
I didn't.
Oh, you missed us. And that was really fun. People came out and sang the Hallelujah Chorus. And those are all parts of our, what we do consider to be our season-long celebration of the Messiah. And we're going to have a couple of workshops in the spring. We're going to have one for would-be soloists. A lot of people, you know, we sort of tend to tap the usual suspects for solo roles in some of these kind of choral works, but there's really a lot of new and different talent. And in fact, Lena might not know this, but Bruce selected 12 soloists for this Messiah this weekend.
Oh, my.
Including a bunch of people who have never done it before.
Good.
And then we also will have this workshop, and that will be for people like them, but also people who auditioned but weren't selected that might want to know more about that. And then the second one will be for choral conductors. And we don't have all the details nailed down for these things, but they will be in March, and we will be publicizing those. So
what are the dates and times for the upcoming workshop?
The workshop itself is in different parts. The basic group voice class will be Monday, Wednesday, Friday, January 2nd, 4th, and 6th. Or, yes, 2nd, 4th, and 6th.
Yeah.
I have to remember July, that New Year's Day is Sunday, so get it from there. And then the festival chorus will start on Saturday, the 31st, and we'll meet in the morning. And
the 31st
of December. And we'll introduce the music and figure out how many people are coming and yada, you know, that sort of thing. And then we'll meet starting Monday the 2nd every night that week and then perform on Saturday night.
The Saturday following the 7th.
Then the ensemble class is actually going to start on the 28th, the evening of the 28th of December. And we'll meet the 28th, 29th, and the 30th, and the morning of the 31st, I think.
It's all very intensive. It's like total immersion.
It is total immersion. Yeah, but it's a very
short
period of time. We produce a lot of sound.
Yeah.
And especially with the ensembles class, workshop, you need that little extra time to wrap yourself around what the music's like and to get over the fear of singing your own part by yourself with no one to rely on except yourself.
Is there a charge?
Yes.
What's it cost?
Oh, I don't remember.
Well, I do.
Oh, good.
And we've got it right here. So the general chorus is $75 for that. What about, it's over
18, 19, 20 hours, somewhere
yeah,
around
something
there.
Like that. And then the singing in a small ensemble class is $50, and the basic voice is $30.
I'm thinking there's somebody out there that has been scratching his or her head thinking, what am I going to get that person who's got everything?
No,
here's a surprise gift.
Yes, exactly.
And
exactly.
That could
good
lead to
thinking.
Your experience.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We have had people give these things as Christmas gifts.
And I also want to throw in there that we do have a pretty liberal scholarship program, too. Mm-hmm. So if there's someone that would like to participate but really just can't
afford to,
please call.
Yes, definitely.
And I also want to plug our website because nobody's going to, if you're driving along, you didn't write all that down. And it's junoopera.org. And we've got everything laid out there. And please call, too. If you have any questions.
Can you just click in a reservation for the thing right there on the website?
Don't even need to.
Oh, okay.
We never have too many singers.
Just show up.
You can't
okay.
have too many singers.
Okay. It's just the only class that we're asking you to sort of let us know ahead of time. It would be nice to know if you're coming to the ensembles class so that, quite frankly, I know how much music to find.
Right.
I've got some, but, you know, it depends upon... If everybody who shows up are sopranos, then I don't need that much SATB music, you know. Or if, you know, everybody is tenors, but no baritones.
That'd
tones.
Be the day.
Yeah. We might need music for soprano, altos, and tenors.
Tenors are especially welcome.
Well, baritones,
everyone is welcome.
Welcome.
But tenors are prized.
And it's just, you know, it's a lot of fun. It gets a little... You know, by Wednesday, you might feel a little tired, you know, but by Thursday, everything clicks in, and by performance, you're fine. It's just fine. We work hard enough on it in the 2.5 hours that we meet every evening that you're going to be fine by the time it's over with.
And can I also just say,
sure.
It is really fun, because Byron is a hoot. He really is. And I have sung with most of the choral... directors here in town, and I love them all, and they're all really different, but Byron is really a force, and once you meet him, you're just sucked in. That's all there is to it.
So show up where on the 28th?
Okay. If you're interested in the 28th, if you're interested in the ensemble class, that week we're going to start rehearsing at McPheeters Hall.
Okay.
Downtown. Basically because I live 2 blocks up the hill, and Byron's staying with me, and I don't want to go very far.
Okay.
Starting Saturday, the classes will move out to Chapel by the Lake, which is where the performance is going to be.
Okay.
So the big chorus is all, well except for one day, but
yeah,
let's
well,
not even
yeah,
go there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
it starts Monday.
Well, Saturday.
Oh, it starts Saturday, December 31st at Chapel by the Lake. It's at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
But really, go to the website, junoopera.org.
And it's all laid out there, or you can give us a call, and we'd be glad to have anybody who wants to sing, because, like I think I said in the beginning, I can't imagine not wanting to sing.
And after your experience of getting drug into the chorus, probably neither can you.
Absolutely not. And I think Juneau is such a remarkable place. I came here from Seattle 10 years ago. I would have never done this in Seattle. You know, you just had to be really good to be in any of those. I'm not supposed to use that word, I guess. But, you know, they expect a level of professionalism in these groups in Seattle. I never would have ever done it. And here, you know, you're welcomed into the singing community, and that's a wonderful thing.
Lena, Laura, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I hope you have a big chorus and a lot of fun with this. And I hope some of the people that are listening to us take the step.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is born in Bethlehem. Hark the hymn. highest heaven adorned, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, veiled in carnage, deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all He brings, risen with healing in His wings.
Mild He lays His glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give His second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
It's the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 16th of December, 2011. It's the birthday of Jane Austen, born 1775 in Hampshire, England, seventh of eight children. Father was a clergyman. He encouraged her aspirations when it became apparent that probably she would not marry. He saw to it she had a writing desk, plenty of ink and paper. Her father died suddenly, and the family needed money. When Sense and Sensibility came out in 1811. Jane Austen widely read in her lifetime, but she published all her books simply as a lady, rather than using her own name. Her health began to decline. 5 years later, she died at 41, possibly of Addison's disease or lymphoma, or, someone recently suggested, arsenic poisoning. Virginia Woolf called her the most perfect artist among women, and Mark Twain said, "Every time I read Pride and Prejudice, I want to dig her up and beat her over the skull with her own shin bone." 200 years ago today, 1811, two enormous earthquakes struck the Louisiana Territory near the borders of Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, Mississippi, Arkansas, Kentucky, and Tennessee, the most severe quakes ever to hit the eastern United States, about 8.0 on the Richter scale. Eyewitnesses said that the Mississippi River appeared to reverse course. The soil liquefied. Plumes of sulfurous gas shot up from the ground. The midnight quakes rang church bells in Boston, toppled chimneys in Maine. And some seismologists believe that the region is overdue for another big quake in a zone where there are 15 nuclear power plants. It's the birthday of Noel Coward, 1899, near London, author of more than 50 plays and two volumes of memoirs, Present Indicative and Future Indefinite. He began a third memoir, Past Conditional, unfinished when he died in 1973. One of his most successful plays, Blithe Spirit, written 1941, a comedy about an author haunted by the ghost of his dead first wife. And it's the birthday of the science fiction author Arthur Clarke, born Minehead, Somerset, England, 1917, best known for 2001, A Space Odyssey. He also was an inventor. He developed an early warning radar system during World War II. On his 90th birthday, A few months before he died, Arthur Clark said, "I have great faith in optimism as a guiding principle, if only because it offers us the opportunity of creating a self-fulfilling prophecy. I hope we've learned something from the most barbaric century in history, the 20th. I would like to see us overcome our tribal divisions and begin to think and act as if we were one family." Here's a poem for today by Jason Schindler, "The Good Son." If God had come to me and said, "If you are willing to forget yourself, you will find the cure for heart attacks and compose the greatest symphonies," I wouldn't have been sure of my answer, because there wouldn't have been enough attention to my suffering. And that's unforgivable. But I keep on forgiving myself with God's love. And it's strange I should say this, because my mother died of a heart attack after months in a hospital room full of a silence that lodged itself like a stone in her throat. And she thought I was wonderful and would do anything for her. The Good Son by Jason Schindler, from his collection Stupid Hope, published by Grey Wolf Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, partners with the National Endowment for the Arts in Poetry Out Loud, a national poetry recitation contest for high school students. More information at poetryfoundation.org. And by the Mosaic Foundation of Rita and Peter Hayden, based in Ann Arbor, honoring the literary arts and the universe of great ideas. Written by Holly Vanderhaar. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
It's 19 minutes before 4 o'clock. You're in tune with KTOO FM in Juneau.
Ce pour mon tout. avec il souffre vraiment. Habla de vous, chante ta délivrance.
Broadcast support comes from McDonald's, now serving holiday treats, eggnog shakes, peppermint mochas, and peppermint hot chocolate. McDonald's is open daily in the Valley except Thanksgiving and Christmas Day.
On January 26th, Capitol Steps will be here in Juneau. They're opening at Centennial Hall on that Thursday night, and here's an excerpt from their album entitled Desperate House Members.
On a dark desert highway, staying just out of sight, just like White House crashes, I don't have an invite. Up ahead in the distance, just past the cactus and sage, I know I can find a brand new job, and I'll work minimum wage. Walking inside the border, a million stars out tonight, I was thinking to myself, this place is heaven if you were just white. Then I saw a big searchlight, it was headed my way. I was spotted by a border guard, and then I heard him say, welcome to the state of Arizona, have your papers please, or you'll have to leave. There isn't much room in the state of Arizona if you're darker than George Hamilton. Would you stop Obama? Say his race isn't pure. Last week I stopped someone named Sonia Sotomayor. Let me check my pockets, I belong here, of course. I will show you my proof now, if you will show me yours. Welcome to my homeland, I was born here. Yes, I've been here 5,000 years. I'm Navajo, I own the land you're on here. We fought illegal since 1492.
Capitol Steps, they'll be in Juneau on January 26th. Might be a show not to miss. Weather Bureau just updated the forecasts as of 4 o'clock. They're saying rain, this is their 4 o'clock, which is about 15 minutes before. Anyway, rain and snow showers diminishing overnight now. They're saying patchy fog force late, little or snow accumulation, little or no snow accumulation. The low is probably around 29. Southeast winds, 10 to 20 miles per hour. Those will still become light and variable late. And then Saturday, they're forecasting the same forecast, mostly cloudy, patchy fog in the morning, isolated rain and snow showers. Highs around 34, light winds, kind of like that without the fog through the weekend. On Sunday, rain, a chance of snow, highs around 37, southeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. A bit back here, we interviewed a wonderful gentleman from Sitka who has his own version of the classic Christmas poem. And so here it is one more time, The Bite Before Christmas, courtesy of Will Swagel, who is the editor and publisher and person generally in charge of almost everything at the Sitka Soup.
"'Twas the night before Christmas. Throughout Sitka Sound, not a creature stirred anywhere on the fish grounds. The hoochies were hung in the wheelhouse with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The swabbies were nestled all snug in their berths, dreaming of cruise shares they soon would be worth. And Mom in her hellies, and I in my tufts, had just set the hook where it wasn't too rough. When out in the spray there arose such a flapping, till I found what was up, I wouldn't be napping. Athwart to the starboard I jumped with some dread, threw open the porthole and stuck out my head. And what should the dark waves I visaged now feature but a mythical skiff drawn by 8 ocean creatures, with a little old captain so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his denizens came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Coho, now Humpy, now Lingcod, now Orca. On herring, on dolphin, on gumboot, on tuna. To the top of the swell, to the top of the squall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As the whitecaps that drive before a big blow, those fishies rose out of the water below. Right on to the deck of our boat up they flew, with a skiff full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then, in a twinkling, I heard on the deck the slapping of tail fins in one steady thwack, the scraping of metal, the screech of the latch. And there was St. Nicholas, in through the hatch. He was dressed all in rubber, in greens and in reds, all covered with slime and remains of fish heads. A duffel of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a fishmonger opening his sack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, enchante, his stomach the size of the fairy Leconte. He smiled in the shape of a boat front, the bow, but he smelled like a section of seldom scrubbed scow. His gut was bleached leather, the tone of a bellyfish, that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jellyfish. He was corded and gnarled, a right salty old tar, and I laughed when I saw him, in spite of his scar. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his craft, depositing goodies for all fore and aft. Then, laying a finger aside of his neck, he swept himself upward, back out on the deck. He sprang to his boat, to his mates cried, "We're legal!" And if that little skiff didn't soar like a seagull. But I heard him exclaim as he sailed into space, "I'll be back. Russian Christmas is here in 12 days."
The Bite Before Christmas, Will Swagel's version for Alaskans, and particularly for those Alaskans who are involved in the fishing industry, of the classic Christmas poem. Will is the editor of the Sitka Soup. And by the way, that book is on sale in a number of stores around Juneau. It's a beautiful illustrated version of the poem with some very fine drawings by local artists, and a very nice little package, possible Christmas present. A little more Christmas music.
Thank you.
A little Christmas music there from the Steve Rudolph Trio. Santa's route will start on the tram tonight at 6:30 at the tram station. The fire truck with Santa on board will proceed up Franklin Street. They'll go up 4th Street, Calhoun Avenue, down 12th to Glacier Avenue, up Highlands Drive along Barrens. They'll loop back to Glacier Avenue, and then at 7:45 they'll cross the Douglas Bridge. They'll go up Cordova Street to I Avenue, and then around the looped at Cedar Park, back down Cordova Street. They'll continue on to Douglas. They'll arrive in Douglas and continue down 2nd Street to St. Anne's. They'll loop back toward the center of town on 5th Street, approximately 8:30 p.m., greeting all the boys and girls of Douglas with candy. So Santa will drive through Juneau starting at 6:30 and through Douglas tonight starting at 7:45. Best go out and see the jolly gentleman. This is KTOO Juneau. This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and at Douglas. And KTOO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley and Auk Bay area, we're on K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, we're on K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens to us on K201 AM on 88.1. K220BT serves Hoonah at 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Straits, you can hear KTOO on K210AS at 89.9.